we are glad to be in church today. And I believe that God deserves the praise and the glory. And we're going to be looking at something important for us as a church. And I believe that God's Spirit will have us lay emphasis or lay focus on this. So, we're getting into God's Word. And today, we will be taking, you know, a side trip into something that's very important for us as believers to know. And we're going to look at then our mouths were filled with laughter, singing and proclaiming. And we are going to be having some emphasis on laughter. Because not many people really understand this. And we had some utterances concerning laughter. And so what happens is that for every utterance, what should follow after is a teaching to expound and explain what God is doing or what God intends to achieve. So, I'm not sure if you've heard teachings on laughter, but that's what I intend to do. So, you know, laughter is not just the name, it's an act. Okay. Some people don't know. They say, what's wrong with these folks? Okay. So we're going to be paying attention to this. And I honestly don't know how I came about this teaching. Yes. If you ask me to tell you, how did you come up with it? I honestly don't know. I was in my room just reading God's Word. And, you know, He had been bringing to me the words that had gone ahead of us the previous week. And then, I think I went into the Psalms. And before I realized, I had finished writing out the Sunday teaching. Yes, before I actually like came to myself that I was actually writing something. I had already written it out. So I was like, okay, I think I would need some other confirmations. And of course, God did sure give me that. Amazingly. If you will believe what I'm teaching you, and not just believe it, but make it more applicative in your life, you are going to be amazed of what tremendous power this brings to your life. So, I just got to Psalm 126. And while I read it, blessed me so much. And Psalm 126 is one of those psalms that David writes. For those of you who use the New King James Version, you're going to see that it's captioned Songs of Ascents. Who has that? Okay, New King James, Songs of Ascents. And then for King James Bible, you see that it has Songs of Decrees. Right? And these are a collection of psalms that, you know, David pens down, and they're actually from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, I should believe, have these characters. And it was believed that the Jewish pilgrims will sing these songs as they climbed the hill up to Jerusalem for their feasts. So they had feasts. And so they will sing them as they climb up to the hill for that feast. So these groups of songs were songs of ascents. And then you get to realize that there's a caption of this song in Psalm 126 because they remembered an incident that happened while they were with the Babylonian Empire. They were caught up in a place or in a space. And you know, Babylon was that land where they lost their identity because they did not have that right of worship, right? They also were giving to other menial jobs that probably they wouldn't give themselves to. So these were times where the people of Israel were caught up in spaces that were hardened, in a sense. Then we realize that God suddenly takes them out of that place. Then now they said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. So when the Lord restored the fortunes that belonged to them, it almost like they were in a dream. It almost like they couldn't believe it. That's how your life is going to become. Yeah. You sit down and you say, hey, is this me, pal? Like me too, I've become a man of God. Hey, when you realize the things that you have done. Sit down. So, when they sat down and they remembered, they said their mouth were filled with laughter. And their tongues were filled with joy. You know, many of you that believe what I'm saying, you will not have the slightest of ideas of what God has planned for you. Right now, you might not look like it. Just give it some time. You will be amazed. You will be amazed of what God has made you already. that you still await a manifestation in the natural, you will be amazed. So, there's something that came to my mind, and I thought, that is really the grace of God. So, that's where our whole teaching is coming from. And I want to draw your attention to something very important. And we'll be doing some statistical comparisons this morning, shortly. And it's going to, you know, form a very strong basis for our conversation. Now, this conversation of happiness and joy are universal virtues. You know, laughter is in that. Laughter is in joy. Are you listening? So whenever I make reference to joy, there are a compilation of words that communicates joy, but our emphasis is going to be on what? Laughter. So you see that happiness and joy, which we said our emphasis is on laughter, is a universal virtue. Or are universal virtues. God giving gifts planted in the hearts of every, planted in the hearts of every human. That means that it is not limited to any particular culture, race, language, or location. What we are talking about today, it's not limited to any culture, any race, any language, any location. It means they are universal. It's everywhere and can be identified in any place at any time. And these are shared human experiences that exist everywhere in the world. It doesn't matter whether you are in Africa. It doesn't matter whether you are in any continent of Europe. It doesn't matter whether you are in Australia. It doesn't matter whether you are in Asia. It's the same. It's universal. And why is this so? Because God planted these in everyone. Even if it is expressed differently. And it will interest you to know that happiness or joy is expressed differently. Might not be the same, but the feeling or the knowing of it is the same everywhere. If somebody says, I'm happy, the feeling of being happy and being full of joy is understood everywhere. For example, I watched a video quite recently, and a great man of God, he was hugging somebody, right? So he hugged the man. And you know, for somebody who is very great, I mean, you hug him with some decency, right? But here's the white man who hugs the man of God, then gives him a pat on his head. Like, so the whole congregation was actually like screaming, like, what have you done? Then another white man comes again, and he hugs him, and he pats him on the head. That's an expression of, I'm happy. So it's an expression. But I realized that to him, in our culture, to hug and to pat at the head like this, like a small boy. How many of you you've watched football? You know, it's not every player does that. But when you see a player do that, it means, Charlie, I'm really happy about what we're going to do. Or I'm happy about what is happening, right? So, sit down. It's expressed differently. I'm going to show you in different places how joy or happiness is expressed. And like I said, we're going to be doing some statistical studies, which will help our teaching. I just look for a window that will help us get what I'm saying. So, for example, in Japan, I had to take the afternoon watching different videos on this. So in Japan, one of the clear ways of expressing joy, I was amazed, is to smile with the eyes. I was like, who can smile with, I like the ladies, who can smile with the eyes? And do you know what Japanese do? They don't actually smile the way you smile. They cover the mouth like this. Then you actually see the eyes smiling, beaming with joy. Yeah, you can go and look at it. They cover them so that you don't see the mouth. But then you look into the eyes and the eyes is beaming with joy. Somebody has just breathed out powerfully. So how can the eye smile? But that's a way. I'm telling you that it's expressed differently, right? But it means I'm happy. To our main conversation that it is universal. Is that okay? So in India, they have something called the head bubble. Yeah, so they do something like this. So when you see them do something like this with a nice smile, it means that I'm really excited. Right? I'm excited. So Italy expresses joy through hand gestures. Yes. So they talk a lot with their hands. Yeah. Yeah. So it means that they are excited. You see, they do something like, his excitement. Eh? So that's the Italian man. He shows it with his hands a lot. So I think when you're speaking to an Italiano man, you have to ask yourself that, Charlie. Well, don't forget, there are other expressions, but mainly it will be expressed in the hands, right? Then I was curious to find out what Ghana will do. Do you know what Ghana will do? Take the drums. Let me show you something. Ghanaians sing and dance when they are happy. Right? So I am dancing around. I am turning around. To my father and my lover, I am dancing around. As I dance every hour, I'm dancing. Da-dum. Da-dum, da-dum. To my father and my lover, I am dancing around. As I dance, every other thing is turning around.
I'm dancing.
I am dancing around. I am turning around. To my father and my lover, I am dancing around. As I dance, every other thing is turning around.
Dancing.
I am dancing around. I am turning around. To my lover and my lover, I am dancing around.
As I dance,
every other thing is turning around.
Take your seats.
So, you find out that Ghanaians express these to communicate happiness. Now, each person, regardless of age, gender, background, has the capacity to feel joyful. The Finlands, or the Finns, express it more with silent, gentle smiles. They are, yes, silent, gentle. So oftentimes you would realize that laughter is often the sign of approval. And I said, it's in every culture, in every race, in every space. Even babies, as early as 3 months old, they can laugh. But even earlier, they smile. Yeah, And some baby smiles are very beautiful. When they see you smile at them gently, they can also smile back. It means it's universal. It's in everyone. It's a God-given attribute. Are you listening? Great. Now, according to the annual World Happiness Report, they are known to provide sort of like a quantitative measurement for happiness in every country. And I had to confirm this, and it was true. In 2025, Finland was known to be the highest rated happiest country in the whole wide world. Ghana, you are not happy if I tell you where you are. And they had been consecutively so for 8 times. Yes, and you know, it held the top spot for 8 solid times. And what they use in this quantitative search is to find out from the people how they are doing. So maybe they do a general census. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how are you doing? Right? So based on all of those, they got to realize that, oh, okay, Finland is the happiest country. Because if you ask anybody, they'll tell you, I'm doing fine, I'm doing well, I'm enjoying my life. Right? Now, those are based on, for example, the economic state of the country. So, economic state of a country. And Finland has that. So, you see that they have good social welfare systems. Their students are paid for. Things happen for them. You know, everything is almost like free in that place. Their GDP is very good. Yeah. You are sick, you go to the hospital, you are catered for. So the citizens seem to be okay. Yeah, they seem to be okay. They seem to be fine. You're wondering what Ghana will say. You are wondering Ghana, isn't it? I'll tell you before we go. I'll tell you. Yeah, so you see that they have all of these happening. And it's also known that activities like sharing of meals is very high in Finland. Like, let's have a meal. You know, let's eat together. So, you know, when you read a lot, you get to realize that cultures are very different. You think you are in Ghana and you are enjoying yourself. You go somewhere and see. Everything is, you'll be shocked. Yes. That your culture, you think, is like that everywhere. It's not like that everywhere. There are even some places when you greet somebody, it's a crime. They don't greet. I mean, mind your business. Like, you go everywhere, mommy, afternoon. Yeah, uncle, afternoon. Yeah, I mean, ciao. Everything you say, everything you extend. Some people just say, what is that? I mean, just keep quiet and pass by. Don't extend any of that. So, in this country, all of these are known. And it's also known that the citizens are optimistic. They are optimistic about life. They believe that it's going to get better. It was said that in those researches, not so much would you find somebody say, complain bitterly. Yeah. And also, their corruption is quite controlled highly. Yes. So that the citizens don't complain. Like, Charlie, somebody is sitting in some presidency and the person is swallowing a lot of money. That's why I told you in one of our services that when you see people running away, they are running away from bad leadership. Yeah. Then I was curious. I had to go and find out for the saddest country in the world. Yes. I'm sure we can all probably tell. So they believe in others. They are optimistic. They trust their institutions. They have a strong welfare system, particularly founded on healthcare. You know, they also have a lot of gender equality. It's like the women are told to feel free and to talk like the men, which I also believe is the case, except for marriage. Yes, we are all together. We are all the same. But when you get married, you are not the same. Is that okay? I heard in the news quite something very interesting. And I was like, that's a serious word of wisdom. The richest man, one of the richest men in Nigeria, was telling his daughter, that's your boss. Listen to him. You have money, but listen to him. Don't call me again. Right? So, taking out the institution of marriage, you are the same. But in marriage, you are not the same. Are you listening? Yes. So, we are not going into that. But all of these were reasons why Finland was known to be a country full of happiness or joy. Now, on the flip side, the world saddest 147th was Afghanistan. Yes. According to the World Happiness Report, they are 147 over 147. Nobody can show them anything. Yeah, nobody. And these were the reasons. Very serious or intense political instability. Yeah. Weak social support. A lot of wars. People treated badly. Women treated badly. You know, so it culminated in them becoming where they are. Then I went on to find out about Ghana. Then I knew you will be inquisitive to know about Ghana. So I just wanted to do that for you. And so that you know where you are. And it's not good at all. We are 125th. Yes. We are 125th. As at 2021, we were 120th. Yes. And they said the COVID stepped in and it agitated, caused confusions. And one of the things that was known was that Ghana political leaders are worrying the citizens. Yes. So the citizens are complaining. Everything is expensive. So all of these things are reasons why they are saying we are in 125. But you know something? We are not part of them. We are not part of them. I just thought to let you know. We are not part of them. Take your seats. So, I just thought to help us look at a social perspective or a general perspective of happiness. And then we're now going to proceed to see what the Bible says on joy or laughter. Now, have you realized, this is what I want you to see, in the comparisons, the feeling of joy is dependent on what happens externally. So in Finland, because there are good things happening, there's a response of happiness. In Afghanistan, because there are bad things happening, there's a response of sadness and sorrow. But then, the believer ought to know his place as well. If you don't know where you are and what he has made you, your joy is going to be dependent on the circumstances that are around you. If there's free social welfare systems, ooh, you're happy. If they take it away, we are suffering. I'm dying. My heart. So, in our study, we're going to pay attention to this inherent virtue given to us by God Himself as believers. You know, you go back home, your daddy starts to complain to you. Things are really hard. Things are not moving the way they have to move. There's that tendency to be suddenly sad. You finish school. You're trusting God for a job. 2 months, you've not had a job. 3 months, you've not had a job. 4 months, you've not had a job. I mean, not you, not had a job. But you see that somebody else, not in this space and not in this place, is trusting God for something and is not coming. And then there is that tendency to look at what is happening around you that determines what God has already put on the inside of you. There's that tendency to be tempted. There's that tendency. You prayed for something. You were looking out for something. But it just looks like it didn't turn out the way you expected. There's that tendency to allow whatever it is that's happening on your external environment affect what you are doing. So, a believer who does not understand what I'm about to teach is going to find himself happy today, something happens tomorrow, very down. Happy today, tomorrow, very down. You see them walking like they've been castrated at the down. See, what is wrong, sister? Tell me, things are not going well. Things are not going well. That's never going to be your story. It's never going to be your story. Yes. Let's take your seat. So, these elements are given to God. It's given to everyone. Actually, it's natural. Just like He created feeding, He's put it in everybody. So, what we get to see is that man has that tendency to be moved by circumstances and situations. You are trusting God for something, and it looks like the thing didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. I found some people who said, you know, this, when my grandmother was not well, I prayed to God. And God told me that my grandmother would not die. The very next day, my grandmother died. I'll never serve God again. I'm sad. And I'll keep this thing in my heart. I'll never go to church again. There are many people like that. Where is God? If God was there, why did He allow this to happen? Where was God? I prayed. Interesting. I once met someone, and I felt very sad for the person. Because the person told me that I'm done with God. I'm done with God. I said, why? Because He didn't do this for me. I said, wow. That's the only reason. He didn't do something for you. That's the only reason. Are you sure that thing He was supposed to do for you, He actually was supposed to do for you? And that's why as believers, we are not of this world. Remember, I showed you different countries and how that their response to life's issues are dependent on what happens on their external environment. But the believer is different. The believer has been given joy, laughter, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. I want to read this in different languages. I mean, translations. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A glad heart, I'm reading from the BBE, a glad heart makes a shining face. But by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart, KJV, maketh a cheerful countenance. But a broken heart, or but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Broken. Proverbs is telling us that the face can reflect the state of the heart. Every day your face is like this. Are you fighting with somebody? What's wrong with you? You say, oh, nah, me, I don't really laugh like that. That church, why were they laughing? What was funny? Do you need a joke to laugh? You don't need a joke to laugh. You don't need a joke to laugh. You know, if I had brought maybe Cleanse the Drunk or Basket Mouth or something, Calibos, then you see me walking, then Calibos is sitting on my right hand side. Then I introduce Calibos, then he says, people of God, you know, I've just come to make you laugh. Nonsense. We have the Holy Ghost. So we can laugh without a joke. Take your seats. So we don't need jokes. We don't need comical things to make us laugh. So Proverbs shows us that the face can reflect the state of the heart. Sometimes when somebody is sad, you can see it on their face. It's on the face. Say, oh, what is wrong? Say, Charlie, the thing didn't work out. The relationship is broken. So you see it on the face. On the face. So Proverbs is showing us how that the face can reflect the state of the heart, which is the central seat of joy. We're also going to see how that joy actually can give us a direct connection to health. Joy and health are directly connected. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doth or doeth good like medicine. A heart that is full of joy. A heart that is full of excitement. It doeth good like medicine. It's like taking medicine. You know, while I was doing a study, thorough study into some medical studies, and it was actually confirmed that many people with cancers are people with serious unforgiveness. Yes. And heart issues. Yes. 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 It's true. And also, people who had bone conditions, arthritic disorders, were also as a result of anger and rage. Yeah. So then, it made meaning to me when Charles and Francis Hunter, these were one of the finest miracle workers the day has ever seen, told a certain guy who struggled with a bone condition, the first question they asked was that, who are you to forgive? Or who are you angry against? Or who are you envious about? So many of the hypertensive cases are as a result of these things I'm talking to you about. Some of your parents, if you just tell them, calm down, just life will be fine. You see that they'll stop taking the BP medications. Just calm down. Everything will be okay. They will stop taking the BP medications. Even though it's not the reason, you know, medically. But I'm telling you, we are people of God. Yeah. It do a good, like medicine. Like every day when you wake up, it means that for you to take 10 mils of paracetamol, or to take 10 mils of diclofenac, or to take 10 mils, 10 milligram, whatever, of any medication, is to actually be full of Mary in your heart. It works like medicine. Yeah. Works like medicine. Some of you, you don't like somebody, this person, you don't talk to that person, you don't like this person. It's to yourself. You are hurting yourself, I'm telling you. And who does she think she is? What is she saying to me? What does she mean? I'm also somebody. All those things. All those things. All those things. So you see that people have issues in their hearts. Yeah. Some migraines are just because you don't like somebody and you don't sleep. You stay up in the night like this. You are plotting and scheming how to hurt the person. Yes, many sicknesses. If you would just be full of Mary. If you will not complain that, why are they keeping law in church? It's a serious matter. Take your seats. I want you to enjoy the teaching. Yeah. Yeah. Many mental conditions as a result of not being happy. Yeah, many mental conditions. So I hear voices. What do you hear voices? Just because you have something. I'm telling you, believe what I'm saying, eh? And believe what the word of God is saying. Mary is like medicine. It's true. And you know, many of the things that happen, they are accumulated over a period of time. Maybe over a period of 5 years, over a period of 7 years, over a period of 10 years. The day you discovered it, it's not the day it started showing. It's that time where you held on to that, anger, you held on to that rage, you held on to that, you know, issue somebody said about you. You held on to that thing somebody said behind your back. You always kept on telling yourself, what is it about life? What is it about life? What is it about life? People who are always sick are people who are less of Mary. Always sick. That's what the word of God is saying. You're going to have medicine. You need to be full of Mary. Worry. Many mental issues as a result of worry. Anxiety. when it's just written right in God's word, do not be anxious about anything. Many mental conditions, many anxiety cases. What, PD, what, all those things. QQZ. Post, what? Pre, what? AD, what? And when my depression comes. When your depression comes, what is that? When my depression comes, I'll be in the room for 4 weeks. What is that? What is that? Tell your friend, what did you find this thing? Where is it from? Turn to your friend and say, So, you know, take your seats. You see, when you say, my rent is over. I don't know how I'm going to pay. I'll tell you what to do. How is your school fees going to be paid? How is that job going to come? Mary. Take your seats. The first response to a breakup message. Let me tell you something. Take your seats. You know, I'm going to share with you a story. A man of God came to me about 2 months ago. Or maybe some months ago, but not more than 2 or 3 months. And he told me that, man of God, our church needs a land. And we've been fighting for the land for years, maybe 8, 9 or something. Yes, 7 to 8 years. We've been on it, or 6 to 7 years. We've been on it. Today court, tomorrow they said they won't do this. When he told me that, I looked at him. I've never laughed hard like that in my life before. I began to laugh. See, we're sitting in a car. I just began to laugh. And he also began to laugh. Look, I laughed and laughed. We laughed for a period of time. We're just laughing. Then do you know what? Take your seats. I never said it was well. I never said anything. We just laughed and we ended it. About 6 days later. I'm talking about 6 days later. He called me. And the first thing he asked me was that, what did you do? Take your seats. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? Listen to the testimony. And he said that, the people have called me. Listen to it. They gave me another land in an environment. They also told me that I should make myself available and that the case had been settled. The case had been settled. Now, this is it. There was a promise that they were going to help him put up the structure. So that was when he told me, he said, can you get me an architect? I said, I have a lot of architects.
You know, that situation, laugh, 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 laugh. Take your seat. Let's not distort. It's an act of faith. You know, faith acts out what should happen that has not happened yet. So the way you see situations and it brings you joy in the natural, even when your physical eyes do not see it, see it with the eyes of faith. See it with the eyes of faith. See it with the eyes of faith. And that's why you begin to laugh. Woo. Take your seats. So, it's gonna make you full of health. You realize that some married couples have not have, they've not have, let me not say. Wow. 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 Woo! Woo! Your life is going to be beautiful. And your life is beautiful. Yes. It's going to be full of laughter. 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 Woo. You know, in this atmosphere, you'll be amazed that migraines will just disappear. Yeah. Sicknesses will just go. Many of the conditions are because you don't laugh. Your heart is not merry. You're always moody. Take your seats. Young men. Look out for joy in the ladies. She doesn't smile. She doesn't laugh. Her face is always frown. Looking very serious. Even when you try to laugh, she says, what is funny? What is funny? Take your seats. Let me tell you something. Your houses are going to be on fire. A woman without Mary. I'm telling you. Women, a man without Mary. He's always looking too serious. Every time he's like, yeah, so what is good? Hey. It's dangerous. He only looks at his newspaper, his phone. Serious person. Be careful. Be careful. Oh. Take your seats. Your home is super. I don't know how I got here, but I'm flowing, isn't it? Alright. So As for you, you're always serious. Always serious. Me, there are some ladies, I even fear them. Because they are serious than you, the pastor. Ask her, are you a serious lady? I'm not seeing you smiling a lot. You see their faces, pa. Let me tell you something. More. I like this one. Kill me, the car. Yes. You see, take your seats, take your seats. The morning face. If you are not a merry person, the morning face is very scary. You wake up. What I'm telling you can add 10 years to your life. You be saying that, oh, they are kids. They act juvenile. Be saying that in your mind. Say, oh, these people, they are kids. They are just laughing about nothing to be laughed. And continue the way you are. You will see. Yes, but we will laugh. And we'll be full of merry. Yes. Full of Mary. Take your seats. Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. When you go to the hypertension unit, many of the cases are just anxiety and sadness. Yes. On many medications like Sinopril and all of those things. That's why when they come to the, a lady came to the pharmacy sometimes, she said, me kuno hame. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, don't, but you will not have that, you won't have it. You say, ah, me domi kuno papa. Yes. Take your seats. You like these things, so. I've searched for Hebrew, so I'm not finding him. I'm full of Mary. Okay, Hebrews James is here. No, relax. Take your seats. So you see that when you find somebody that's not joyful, it's going to reflect on their faces, they're going to be sick, they're not going to be happy. Don't trade this for anything. Me, I've seen it that when something wants to make me sad, I just leave it. No, I don't want to hold on. No, just, I don't want any trouble. Just steady and stay happy. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, the church is so loud on love, right? Like everywhere you go, love, love. But see the second fruit. It's joy. So it means that, you know, inherent or coming out of the dwelling of God's Spirit or coming out of God's Spirit in our spirits is joy. Is it like, it's supposed to be a factory setting, just like love. Now, don't forget what I'm telling you. Like I told you, all of those countries, it was a result of the external happenings. Afghanistan, external. Finland, Ireland, and all of those nations, external. But the joy that we have
We can be in Afghanistan and it does not affect us. Because that joy is inherent. Not as a result of what is happening all around us, but it's inherent. It's on the inside of us. So, when things are happening on the outside, we're able to hold our ground. Stand our ground. And look at those situations and say, I've still got the joy of God in my heart. Let me tell you something. Never forget what I'm about to tell you. You are responsible for how joyful you are. Nobody. I wrote this in a piece of paper and I put it on my laptop and I said, nobody is going to be the reason why I will be not full of joy. And nothing, and I repeat, nothing is going to be the reason why I will lack joy. I see this when I came to Accra. I didn't even have a place to sleep. I had to call somebody. Stayed with him for a short while. I said, no, this one, I can't make noise. I can't feel free. So I called another person. I said, that room where the cement box and the mortar and pistols are, I want that room. I want to be there. I was there for several months. With my mattress there. But you know something? Never for one day did I wake up and say, Lord, why me? It never even crossed my mind. Like I used to see the mortar and the pistols and then the cement box. I'll be like, okay. Never did I allow anything external affect what I had on the inside of me. Some of you, when you have money, we can see. When you also do not have money, we can see. It's like we see you and you are very somewhere. Your joy ought not to be as a result of what happens on your external environment. Some of you are facing persecutions as a result of your desire for God. Listen to me. You have joy on the inside. And I made up my mind. I'm going to enjoy life. And that enjoyment of life, it's going to be that godly kind of enjoyment of life. Yeah. Listen, not everybody is supposed to get married. Are you listening to me? Don't let anybody make you feel like if you are not married, you have a problem. Not everybody's going to get married. Not everybody's going to have sex. Jesus never did. Paul never did. He was still full of joy. Full of joy. With sex, without sex, full of joy. Woo! Take your seats. So, listen to me. Don't make anybody tell you how. You are in level what? Or you have finished school. You don't have somebody that has spoken to you before. Nobody has approached you before. And it's like every day your mind is on that one thing. That why is somebody not proposing to me? Why is somebody not coming to me? What is wrong with me? Are you serious? No. No, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so.
Is
there something wrong with me? Oh, maybe I'm not nice. No. You will soon realize that joy is not in men. Like the women, she said, Makuma. It's not in men. Joy is first in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Take your seats. There's nothing wrong with you. Some of the boys you've proposed to, like three, they said no. You are giving up. I know a brother like that. He proposed, said no. And he just went to one sister somewhere and proposed that I knew that this is not the sister. And the sister said yes. And I said in my heart, yeah, this guy has gone to somebody he shouldn't have gone to. You should have just been patient. I see it today. I look at it quietly and say, you should have been patient. You should have been patient. You should have been patient. So, your joy is not going to be dependent on external situations and circumstances. Never. It's dangerous, I'm telling you. That's why many people are sick. Say, give me. Why do you think sedatives are selling highly? Go to the UK, find out how many people need to take drugs to just have sleep. What at all? What at all? What at all? What at all is it? Listen, you wrote an exam, you didn't pass. What at all? What at all is it? I mean, let's be serious. Prepare and go and write. This time it will go well. Take your seats. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. So is a factory. No, that was actually a joke. So we are almost close. It's a factory setting in the life of a believer. So in our spirits, there's joy. There's laughter right from the point of salvation. When you find a believer that says, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm sad, I'm moody, my depression has come. My depression has come. So you find out that people are substituting what God gave to them. And they are believing what the world says about them. When he says you have joy, you know, you can never be on the negative side of God's word and receive what he intends to give you. You can never. You have to side with it. Then that's when you begin to see what he says he will do in your life. So when I say you have joy, don't say I don't have joy. When you say you don't have joy, you're taking a negative part of God's word. And many people do that. They go around looking for pastors to pray for them, doing this, doing that. But they are directly on the other side of what God's word is saying. So how about you take God's word? How about you hear what I'm telling you in God's word, and then you settle and believe that laughter is a part of your life and joy is a very important aspect of your life that you should not play with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And many of the times, these things are like clouds in the realm of the spirit. It hollows around individuals. When you can see, it hollows. You see someone, the person is walking with a dark cloud on the mind. And that's why when we come to Holy Ghost meeting, and you see people rejoice, you see people, you know, make merry. You see that cloud beginning to just disappear. It disappears. Yeah. You came in heavy because you were trusting God for something. It looks like it's not turning out. You were looking out for something. It looks like it's not happening. You came around. It's not going well. You did this. It looks like something is that seems like you're just you're just at a spot. Then you come and you laugh. Then you see that, there's that joy. So take your seats. So right from the point of salvation, God gave man his spirit. You know why? Because God knew and he knows that life is going to be full of ups and downs. But he gives us something that can keep us consistent, irrespective of whatever it is that's happening. And that's his spirit. And part of his spirit is joy. Part of his spirit is joy. How many of you have at a point in time called me about something serious? Then after the call, you thought to yourself, it's not that much of a problem. Right? It's not that much of a problem. Oh, you're expecting a reaction. But there was no reaction. That's fine. Oh, I see. That's fine. It's for some places. There are some other places I can be very hard. But most of the times, we can just flow with it and trust God's word to deal with it. Are you listening? Yes. It's laughing. Because you know you will have the victory. I know this very well. It will not go against you. It will go against you. It will rather turn out for your good. Yeah. Some of you have had to see your colleagues go ahead. Let me tell you something. It will not go against you. It don't go against you.
Don't go against me.
Take your seats. So God knows this. In spite of and despite of unpleasant circumstances, it will not go against you. Some of you look at your families and you are not happy about the state of how things are going in the family. You look at your mother, there's nothing to write home about. You look at your father, nothing. You look around you, your siblings, no, too good. And it keeps coming to your mind that you are also going to turn out the same way. Listen to me. It won't go against you. It won't go against you. God has chosen you to institute that change in your home.
My home.
Yeah. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. He has chosen you.
He has handpicked
you. And he has hand-selected you. Yeah. He won't go against you. He won't go against you. You know, sometimes you can look at situations and you say, why am I still here at this point? Listen to me. It will not go against you.
It
won't go against you. You know what the prophet of God did when he saw the chariots of Ahab ahead of him? By
Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him and he ran past the child. Yeah. The speed on your feet, it won't go against you. I said it will not go against you. It will go against you. It will not go against you. Listen to me. Only believe what I'm telling you. That's all. That's all. That's all. That's all. When you see situations that did not turn out the way you expected, laugh. Take your seats. So in spite and despite of the unfavorable, unpleasant circumstances, our joy in him is not dependent on the things that are external. Yeah. Remember, it's not dependent on whether it's met or is unmet. Whether expectations are met or unmet. It's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on that. Don't say that when it's met, I'll be full of joy. When it's not met, I'll be full of joy. It's not dependent on any of the two. Pleasant or unpleasant, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're turning out well. You're turning out well. You're turning out well. Don't look at the times that have gone. Don't look at those things. Don't look at those things. It's giving you joy irrespective of the situation. And you are responsible for it. You're not going to say, God, give me joy. He's already giving joy to you. So you are entirely responsible to making sure that you live a joyful life for the rest of your life. Or you think you're the only one whose father has called him and said, oh, now it looks like things are not moving the way. You think you're the only one. No. I also had my dad and call me sometime and he told me things are not really moving well. And again, I tell him they're moving well. Yeah. Well, your mother is always calling you and telling you this. There's nothing at home. Things are hard. And she even went to the doctor. They said they put her on drugs now, so she needs to buy more medications. And you're looking at it and wondering, God. That's a good time. To laugh. Oh my goodness. My goodness. Some of you are going through persecutions and afflictions at home because of the ministry. Don't cry. It's all part. Laugh at it. So, take your seats. The believer can maintain an attitude of joy irrespective of whatever it is that happens around. Irrespective of whatever it is that's happened around. John 16:33. I want your life to be full of joy. Laughter. Laughter. You know, sometimes my father said,
You talk like you have everything. Where are you going to get it from? I said, I have it. Say, where is it? I said, God, God is with God. So where, the God you are saying, where is he? Oh my goodness me. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, he writes unto his disciples, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. So the world will come with things. It will come with things. There are times where things are going to turn out in a way you didn't expect. You lost something. You lost something. You lost money. You lost a job. You lost something. But you must stay in this because that is where you are. Are you listening? You find out that people are murmuring. People are complaining. Oh, it's hard. Things are not going well. You have thoughts. Why don't I just end it all? No, don't end it all. No. Don't end it all. Do not end it all. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. I don't know about you. But I want to live. And I'm going to live long, fulfilling God's plan for my life. Yes. Don't exit. Don't go. What are you going to? So you see that he tells them there's going to be that time. There's going to be that tribulation. You've never been lashed before. Your finger cut you never. Only just because your room leaks. You get up, oh God, when? Why me? Am I the only one? Why am I suffering like this? My name is Sofa. Why don't you see that happening and say, wow. that's beautiful. You put a bowl there. Then when you put a bowl there, you envision how your future house will look like. Put a thing there. Yes. One of the things that I don't know how to do is how to impress people. I'm not good at it. Yes. If you see me and you like me, for anything as a man of God, just like me for who I am, because I will not impress you. I don't know how to impress people. Yeah, I don't know how to impress people. I'm not good at it at all. I don't know how to do it. So I'll never impress you. I just want you to know. I'll give you what I am. I don't know. But you love it, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I love it, Pastor.
Yeah. So, don't live your life becoming sad because something happened in a certain way. God is turning it out for your good. Don't say, oh. Yeah, I have some. Take your seats. I have some. 500,000 US dollars. But you don't have team. You don't have nothing. You are trying to woo a lady. Yeah. I eat whatever I can. Corn, I eat corn, I do everything. Yes. In fact, many of the times I keep my best part of my life from the eyes of people. What I really have, you will never know. Yes. Because I'm not there to impress you. You see that? So don't live your life for others.
live your life for others. Don't live your life for others. Oh, he has a Corolla. I'm thinking about a Corolla for myself. Lord, when? When are you going to give me a Corolla? He wants to give you one. He's preaching for me. Eh? Listen to me. You're a young lady here. You go to school. What you have, take it to school like that and be full of joy. Take it to school like that. Don't have a week that costs far more than what you ate. Wait. Don't have a week that costs far more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is what I'm saying wise? You don't have a week that costs, you can't eat, but your week is... You are hurting yourself. You know why I'm telling you this? I'm teaching you to be patient. Because God is going to do for you in your life all of those things as you stay with Him. In the right time. 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 Yeah. I had people in ministry, you know, who want to show something, who want to do something, who want to look in a certain way, who want to put up a certain sort of performance. I'm like, this thing is not time. When is time it will happen? Yeah. You are a minister, your shoe. Your shoe. You don't have a land. The church doesn't have a land. But your car is more than the price of the land. Why are you in a hurry to? Why are you in a hurry to? Why are you in a hurry to? Many people think I started seeing miracles last week. I've been seeing miracles for years. But you never even sometimes see me talk about it. Because there's a time to talk about it. There's a time to just rejoice at what has happened and let it go. That's all. That's all. What I'm teaching you is that you are going to be very great. So, you know, some people are going to say, in a few months, years time to come, say, where did he come from? We're already here. We're already here. Where did they come from? They were already there. We're here for years. You didn't know. We're patiently doing what God wanted us to do. So I'm teaching you, take your seats. Don't be in a hurry. It's a stealer of joy. Many people spend their whole lives comparing what they do not have with somebody that has. What you have, wear. What you have, eat. Be full of joy. So Jesus is telling his disciples, there will be ups, downs, tribulations. They will tell you from here to there, someone will sleep in prison. Another person is going to be stoned. Another person is going to be killed. But he says, be of good cheer. The AMP version expresses that word as be confident, undaunted, courageous, and ultimately full of joy. See, I'm also not so much impressionable. Like, you can't impress me. Now, I speak in a context with materials. Yes. Yes. You have air, I have air.
We all breathe. You eat fried rice. What? The same fried rice we all eat. It's not any different. It's 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that fried rice was like very special. Now fried rice, egusi. There's no special sort of. Have you realized that there's no special? Special, like something that you, those times Christmas. For you to see Fanta. It was always a miracle. Only our day. That's when you have two Coke, one Fanta. One. Take your seats. Today, even when they give you Fanta, you don't even love it. Take your seats. So, there is a tendency. Be full of joy. Be full of laughter. James. James chapter 1, verse 2. Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Full of joy. He says you should take it joyfully when you go through diverse temptations. I like you to start to keep your focus on what steals your joy. You know, one time I got up and I realized that, oh, I think the Lord just revealed that to me openly in my heart. And he said, you can be so particular about the ministry that you forget that I am with you. I said, oh, that is so true. You are with me. Wow. All right. So, you find out that people's joy is stolen because of situations and circumstances of life. For you who is listening to me, do not allow anything steal your joy. Are you listening? So, he makes us see how that we ought to be full of joy, of good cheer. You know, when a child is cheerful, children can show cheer. Yeah. And I want to tell somebody, don't become joyful when things are going on well, when things are not going on well. Listen to me. You can make life simple. In the simple things, whether good or bad, still be joyful. You know, in the north, some typical northern areas, they don't even have light up till this time. Yeah, they don't have light. And before they see light, it's a miracle. But they are full of joy. If you give them torchlights, you have killed them. Yes. One time Bishop Dag went to a country and he asked them that, actually Ghana is very developed. You don't know. You go to other countries, you run back. And you know, he actually says that Ghana is the most developed country in Africa. That's what he said, including South Africa and all of those countries. Yes, that's what he said. He says because he's gone through all of them. And he goes city by city. He goes through all the cities in every nation. Then he moves to another nation. So if he says this, I believe. So he says he went to a place and they asked, what do we need? He said, please buy us torchlights. That's what the people of the town needed. Just torchlights. Yes. You have light. You said you are depressed or what? You own the light in the midst of. The little thing should just get you on. Are you listening?
Don't be impressed by so many things. Don't be impressed. Take your seat. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed by so much huge things. The Bible tells us not to mind. He says, mind not the high things. Don't be impressed by a lot of things. Don't be impressed. It's the reason why many young ladies are being deceived. You have a guy, he doesn't really have money like that. He's still starting in life. Don't go and look for somebody who supposedly has money. Don't be impressed by so many things. It's like you're laughing, pal. I'm wondering if you have a guy like that. Guys, to you are easily impressed. You'll be shocked. You're looking for big care. What do you call it? You are easily impressed. You are easily impressed. You are easily impressed. You are easily impressed. Let me not go that direction. John. Easily impressed. And that's why many people are not joyful. Yeah. Not joyful. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. So your joy is going to be where? Joy is going to be in the Lord. We're going to be full of laughter. Now we're going to look at just five essence of laughter and then we are out of here. I'm going to read them to you quickly. So be full of joy. Learn to laugh at situations when they happen. You laugh at them because you have knowledge that you will have the victory in the end. Are you listening? Do not forget what I'm telling you. They call you. This thing's happening at home. This is relax. Sometimes you can receive the information. Then you say, yes, please. We trust God for this. And when you pim. This thing I'm doing, it's not just for church. It's for your room. Like where you are. Because that's where the thoughts come. The situations come. Problems come. The issues are coming at you. That's where they come from. So I trust that we are going to be full of laughter. Singing and proclaiming. Which we will not get into, but I'll just touch that at the last. Number one, write these. The essence of joy and laughter. Take your seats. Joy and laughter puts us in an atmosphere of faith. Joy and laughter puts us in an atmosphere of faith. They strengthen our faith and positions us to respond. I'm reading like I'm not a lecturer. Sorry. Joy and laughter. Puts us in an atmosphere of faith. They strengthen our faith and positions us to respond, to take faith-filled decisions. Joy and laughter puts us in an atmosphere of faith. They strengthen our faith and positions us to respond, to take faith-filled decisions in spite of and despite of contrary situations. Joy and laughter puts us in an atmosphere of faith. They strengthen our faith and positions us to respond, to take faith-filled decisions in spite of and despite of contrary situations. So in situations of anxiety, depression, you know, things are just not going on well.
I'll tell you what to do before you now even say, Lord, give me faith. Don't forget what I'm telling you. I wish people will put this into effect. I wish you put it into effect. That you will not call people and you are shaking in anxiety. It puts us in that position of faith. Have you realized that when your faith is shaking, is when you are moody, you are sad, you've lost focus of God's word. Then you begin to shake. You begin to shake. One of the things I told God is that the ministry is yours. You're building it, you will build it. I'm going to let you build it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Just do the building yourself. Just give the instruction. I'm not going to worry about how things are going to turn, where we are going to go, what we are going to do, how it's going to turn out. It's yours. Some of you will have to roll over that situation to God. You have to roll it over to Him. You have to roll it over to Him. That situation at home, you have to just take your emotions out of it and say, I cannot do anything about it. So Lord, I give it to you. Now that giving it to you there will mean that you begin to respond to the situation with the spirit of faith. So it's not like I give it to you, then you don't care about it. You roll over the burden to Him and you begin to respond to that situation in faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? In faith, you begin to respond to that situation in faith. So when you see the situation, it's not time to be emotional about the situation. It's not time to cry about the situation. It's not time to be, what do I do now? What's going on with my life? What am I going to go? Oh, am I the only one who was born? I've gone through this and I've gone through that and I've done this. I'm the only one struggling. God, where are you? When I pray, don't you hear me? What's happening in my family? No, just walk through it. Just walk through it. Walk through it. Walk through it. Walk through it. And whenever you see that situation, your response should be a response of faith. And don't forget to laugh in addition. Because you will see it happen. Take your seat. You're going to see it happen. So joy, laughter, it's going to help us to conduct ourselves in faith. Conduct ourselves in faith. Me, if you see me quiet, it's not that I'm sad. Maybe I'm meditating on something. I'm trying to figure out something. But it's not an emotion of sadness. No, sadness is not with me. You never find sadness with me. Yeah. Yeah. Don't break yourself. I mean, somebody came to you. Say, oh, can you give me this money? You say, oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't be able to, but I'll be able to give you a part of what you are looking for. Then you go back and you are sad that you were not able to give the person. What's wrong with you? It's time to hold the person's hands and say, let's pray and believe God for something to happen. Let's pray and believe God. Young men listening to me, being hungry is not a problem. Eh? When you are hungry, what do? You find something to eat, isn't it? You find something to eat. That's what you do, isn't it? Not that something you like to eat, find something to eat. Find something to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? And don't become very moody and you lose faith in life. It's too early.
Gary, eat it like that. Spaghetti, eat it like that. While you're eating it, you're full of joy. That's what you have to do. Eat it like that. And you're full of joy. You know, you're going to meet somebody who will ask you and say that, what do you eat? It's like your skin glows. And you're like, my goodness. I can't even tell you that I feed on Kibo Gari. Oh my goodness. I'm teaching you how to, you see, take your seats. Sometimes the enemy shoots these shots at you, and because you don't know God's word, and you can't have a hope of things becoming well, it affects you, and then it stops you from realizing what God is about to actually do. So you find people worried about so many things in the now, and yet their future is so much full of bliss. Future so much full of bliss. But they allow circumstances. They allow circumstances. They allow life's problems and situations. Don't allow life's problems and situations get to you and steal your joy. My auntie is not treating me well. My auntie I went to do is not helping me well. It's not helping me. There's not. You choose to either respond to that or to make sure that joy continually stays. I've lived in houses before that they locked me out many times. Many times. Do you know the funny thing? It never occurred to me that I was sad. I actually never was sad. Like anytime they locked me outside, I saw that as an opportunity to pray. So at a point in time, I was even more excited because you know when you pray and you have easy entrance, you can just go back in. Do you see that? No, not locking out intentionally like we have locked you out. They expect that I should come in, but the gate is locked. Do you see that? So you spend the time to pray. And when it's open again, you enter. Whatever time is open, you enter. So you could have allowed things get to you. One time I was going with a few people who were with me and they said, hey Charlie, the gate is locked. I said, we'll just take the opportunity to pray. Anything life gives, I will take it and make the best out of it. Oh, yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Anything that life gives, we will take it and we'll make the best out of it. Yes. Sack you from a job. Another job is coming. Take the best out of it. Yeah. Make the best out of it. Number two. Joy and laughter causes us to walk in that peace that only God gives. Joy and laughter causes us to walk in that peace that only God gives. It's soothing and calming to our minds and our hearts. And it allows us to navigate life's challenges and stormy situations. Joy and laughter causes us to walk in the peace that only God gives. It soothes and calms our minds and our hearts. And it allows us to navigate life's challenges and stormy situations. So you say, when will I have peace? I don't have peace. I don't know what it means like to feel peace. I'm always in trouble. I'm always sad. I'm always worried. I'm always bothered. I'm telling you that laughter will make this happen. There's going to be peace around you. I tell you that the presence of joy is the presence of
God. The presence of joy is the presence of God. In His presence, there is fullness, not half. There's fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are things that are pleasurable forevermore. And that's how we know on the other side of the city is going to be full of pleasure. And you know what? He wants us to draw off that pleasure and leave it right here on earth. This pleasure. Make up your mind. I'm going to live a pleasurable life. Are you listening? A life of pleasure. A life where you are fine. Because, you know, if you're going to follow everything, be ready for a life of hard faces and everything. Like your life is just all of those. Have you met seekers? Have you met workers that are very some way? Have you worked with some people like that? Like when you see them, they are moody and they are sad. And they don't look well. But that's not going to be your life. Are you listening? Three. Joy and laughter cultivates genuine and heartfelt gratitude. Joy and laughter. Me, I want to be around joyful people. Yeah. Not somebody who is not joyful. Yes. That's why I seem to like, someone being around me. Because already there's a lot of work to do. So if you come in, it's like you are adding a lot of trouble to the work. It really doesn't help, you see. Let me tell you, every pastor is happy when you are happy around them. Except that when we are serious, let's all be serious. Every time you are just, You walk slowly. Say, brother, what's wrong? Say, it's like your leg is turning. So why are you still frowning? I want to know. Are you going to be full of joy? So joy and laughter cultivates genuine heartfelt gratitude. It helps us focus on the blessings of God. The first thing you do when you wake up, you complain. God, this thing, you didn't make it happen. This thing is not working. This, my mother is doing that. My uncle is like this. My father is like this. Abba. You can't even see that you are breathing. Do you know sometimes you can live life and you can't even see that you are breathing? Yeah, you forget that breathing is something to be grateful for. And soundness of health is another thing to be grateful for. And the ability to think, act, and move is another thing to be grateful for. But you wake up right to what is wrong. Yeah. Give your next brother a smile. Do you see that smiles are warm? If you sit by somebody who doesn't smile, so it fills us with gratitude. And more joy will mean more presence of God. You know, I was watching a minister, and the Lord had told me this before, but I asked the Lord, why is it that there are so many miracles in this person's ministry? What's so special? And I realized that the people are just joyful people. That's all. Yeah, that's all. The people are just happy. When you go to service, they are joyful. Joyful. They laugh. Yes. People are joyful people. Fourth one. Joy and laughter adorns us beautifully as children of God. See, smiles and laughter, it warms the heart. Yeah. I heard a story as to why a certain man chose a certain woman. And he said that there is no reason why, except that she's smiling all the time. Yeah. You think what I'm saying is not more powerful than beauty? You see whether beauty can be compared to a merry heart. Haven't you seen many beautiful people breaking off from themselves? But when you see them, you say, God, I wish I could marry that beautiful lady. But she said, I won't do it again. So it's not just about beauty. What I'm telling you, it far matters than beauty. Look out for it.
Look out for it.
The way they are nodding their heads.
I love my pastor. I love my pastor.
Are you going to be full of joy?
Yes, sir.
See, I heard a story about somebody who didn't have a place to stay. And I told the person, I said, you can still be joyful. Because joy is dependent on whether you have a place to stay or not. Even if it's under whatever you have, the only thing you need is a cloth. Just buy a cloth, nice cloth, heavy blanket. Mosquito quail. Even though those guys can be stubborn. And put it on. And when you wake up in the morning, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Hey. Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Always. Praising the Lord. With all your heart.
Yes.
Praising the Lord. With all your heart. Always.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Always.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Always.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. With all your heart. Praising the Lord. With all your heart. Always.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Always.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord. Always.
Praising the Lord.
With all your heart.
Praising the Lord.
With all your heart.
I will praise you at no time. I will praise you.
They can continue, just undertone. Not the voices, just the drums and the keyboard. If you ask the people who really know, and you know me very well, I mean, those who are close to me can tell, my atmospheres are most of the times praise atmospheres. Many of the times, praise atmospheres throughout. Not just with praise, but with dancing. So I have atmospheres of praise all around me. In fact, many of the times I pray with praise music for longer hours.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord,
always. Despite the situations, despite the highs, despite the tribulations, with all my heart, I will praise. I will praise.
Praising the Lord.
Oh, lift up your hands, oh ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting God. And the King of glory shall come. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong, the Lord mighty, the Lord strong, the Lord mighty, the Lord strong. Lift up your hands, oh ye gates, and be ye lifted up, oh ye everlasting God.
Praising the Lord with all your heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Joy and laughter adorns us beautifully as God's children. You know, God laughs. He does. When he sits in heaven, he looks at us and he laughs. It does not mean situations will not come. They will come. But your response to those situations is going to be joy. It's going to be joy. It adorns us beautifully as children of God. And the last one, joy is the oil of gladness that fuels our service or ministry in Christ. Is that fuel to our service? Is when we do it in joy. That's joy. Is that fuel of ministry? Listen to me, you have to be full of joy. You have to be full of joy. You have to be full of joy. Is that fuel that fuels your heart in the ministry? You have to do the ministry with joy. That's what will sustain your walk with God. Are you listening to me? So never say, I don't have joy. And it's too hard. You say, I'm full of joy.
Full of joy!
Full of joy!
Praise Him. Praise Him. Give Him the praise. And give Him the thanks for the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is great. Give Him the praise. And give Him the thanks. For the Lord our God is great. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. And give Him the praise. And give Him the thanks for the Lord. For the Lord our God is great. Give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. And give Him the thanks. And give Him the praise.